What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita prevnar20enespañol.com.
The art of cheesemaking is referred to in ancient Greek mythology. Evidence of cheese has been found in Egyptian tombs dating back centuries.
Today's episode is all about cheese.
Cheese.
My name is Eva Longoria.
And I am Maite Gomez-Rejon.
And welcome to
Hungry for History,
a podcast that explores our past and present through food.
On every episode, we'll talk about the history of some of our favorite dishes, ingredients, and beverages.
So make yourself at home.
Y buen provecho.
Archaeologists have found evidence that dates cheese making in La Mancha, which is in charge of Manchego, since the Bronze Age.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Cheese making has been around for millennia. We don't know exactly like who made cheese for the first time, but it's been an important food in ancient civilizations from Western Asia to Southern Europe. It's been an important food for thousands of years, already valued at the dawn of civilization.
Wow. That's so interesting because it's a dairy product.
Yeah. So- but it's a sort of a byproduct of your sheep, your goat, like it's really
your
using
cow,
your
yeah.
cow, really using just
That's
everything.
It's such a shame we don't know who said, you know what's be a good idea? I'm going to take the byproduct of this cow and make something else. Like,
I know. How did they figure out? Yeah, we don't really know. But there's actually a Sumerian, what is it called? A relief that dates back, you know, to the dawn of civilization that has the entire process of sheep's cheese. So that depicts the entire, you know, process. So sort of it's been around forever from the Sumerians all the way back to the third millennium BC. So there's writings that have only recently been deciphered that have, you know, references to the importance of cheese.
Who put cheese and wine together? Was it the Greeks? Because that's a good combo.
That's a great combo.
Whose yeah. genius was that? Well, it said in Greece, about 1200 BC, there was evidence of all this cheese and gallons of wine that were unearthed. So that sounds like a party to me.
It does. It does. It
that
totally
sounds like a party.
Like
I would have wanted a bit.
Yeah,
I would have wanted
totally,
a
bit. Totally sounds like a party. And there's this woman, this tomb that was discovered, a 3000 BC tomb in Egypt that was discovered. Mm-hmm. And a woman in her 60s was buried with a bunch of different dishes, 14 different dishes, including wine and bread and cheese. Mm-hmm. So there you go, 3000 BC, you know, Egypt, that's soup, meat, fish, fowl, cakes, fruit, wine, bread, and three pots of cheeses.
Wow.
So maybe—
Well, you know, in like classical Greek and Roman, I feel like in art, cheese and bread was always seen with water and wine or just as a meal. Like
cheese, nuts, wine. I mean, it was just sort of the perfect combination. So that hasn't really changed.
No, and they would serve it with honey and wine. So I'm like, yeah, this, why change a good thing?
Exactly. Why change a good thing? So in ancient Greece, goat cheese and sheep cheese were the best known. And we even see it in Homer's Odyssey. The Cyclops in Homer's Odyssey was a keeper of sheep and a maker of cheese. So it's sort of been around forever. And the first time that we actually see references of it in Spain, where we are, dates to the Roman Empire. They talk about smoked cheeses. They talk about sort of all sorts of different cheeses. But at the time, Italian cheeses were the most famous.
And let's talk about cheese absent places, which was Mesoamerica.
Zero.
Or all the Americas.
All the Americas.
Zero cheese.
They didn't have dairy. And it took a while for it to really catch on because the people, the Native American people, were lactose intolerant.
Well, they're lactose intolerant because they weren't exposed to it.
Exactly. And it took them a while for their palates as well as
their bodies. I don't think we're still lactose tolerant.
We're not really. Like, we shouldn't really.
We really shouldn't be eating this much cheese.
We really shouldn't.
Well, let's talk about cheese here in Spain because people here have been eating it since the fourth millennium, because I want to talk about Spain and then obviously how we got to Mexico.
Yes.
Were there any special tools or like how they mixed it different religiously than it was for commercial consumption?
Well, one thing that I find really interesting, and this is what I was looking for all day today, is this one particular cheese. What cheese has is rennet, which comes from the animal, from the stomach of basically baby cows, sheep, lambs, goats that are still nursing, right? So it's this stuff called rennet that it only baby animals can produce it because they're nursing. Once they start eating grass, they stop producing it. So to make cheese, you need rennet. And in Jewish religion, you can't mix meat and milk. And rennet is considered meat. So they discovered that you could get a plant-based rennet from something called a thistle, which it's a cardoon. So it's similar to an artichoke. So that, I'm not sure what part of the plant, but that sort of produces a type of rennet, which is like an acid that helps curdle which is what when animals are producing this, it helps curdle the meat. So it separates the protein from the from the water. But there's a cheese called torta de deshesa or torta del cazar. And these are cheeses that are made with this. And it was okay because it didn't constitute mixing meat and milk. But we see cheese making in recipes like dating back, to early sort of medieval Spanish recipes, like cheese with garlic, you have cheese fritters. So even in Italy, there's this really interesting book from the mid 15th century, and there's a dish of squash mixed with saffron, sugar, and spices finished with egg yolks and aged cheeses. So we start seeing in Catalan books, there's a 4th century Catalan book by a person named Saint Sovi that had lots of different types of cheese recipes, cheese sauces, cheese fritters. So it was definitely used in the Spanish diet, not only cheese and bread and nuts, like we were talking about earlier, but in cooking, like to add to dishes. So there's this long, history. And then, of course, there's Mexico.
When we come back, we're tracing the history of cheese in Mexico.
Don't go anywhere.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling, and it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura podcast network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows, wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip.
I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
What are your favorite Mexican dishes that have cheese? I don't even know a Mexican dish that doesn't have cheese.
I know, it's a lot. And it's interesting because it took a while for it to become part of the diet. But like quesadillas, of course.
Yeah.
I have quesadillas all the time.
Enchiladas, like, tacos.
Even in sauces like chiles en nogada, it has like a queso fresco with sugar and with nuts.
Oh, yeah. My corn, maíz has queso fresco.
The huesquites. Elotes, have the queso fresco. Like quesadillas, it's such a typical street food. Those huge quesadillas from the street, there's nothing with queso, epazote or squash blossom or something like that. It's amazing. I have quesadillas a few times a week. It's one of my favorite. Like when I don't know what to make for dinner or lunch or I'm just too busy. Really good cheese, really good tortilla, and that's dinner.
That was my after-school snack. When kids went home and had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I had a quesadilla.
I probably did too. We weren't a peanut butter and jelly sandwich type of family.
No, neither were we.
Not really. No. I don't really like
peanut
butter.
But I had a tortilla with aguacate after school or a tortilla, flour, or a quesadilla.
Yeah.
That was like, here, shut up. That was my mom. Wait till dinner. Here. That was that.
Calm down. Yeah. Yeah. The Spanish that came, that conquered Mexico, they came from an area that made sheep's cheeses.
Okay.
Not cow cheeses.
Okay.
So, but they brought their other animals with them. Uh-huh. So really, they didn't really start making cow's milk until they got here. I mean, cow's milk existed in Spain, but the conquistadors, they were used to sheep cheeses when they got to Mexico.
So that's why manchego is big in Mexico.
The Mexican manchego is called manchego, but it's very different than the than the Spanish manchego. And the Mexican manchego is made with cow's milk.
Oh, interesting.
But the first cheeses made in Mexico were made with sheep's milk.
So hard to say sheep.
Sheep's. Yeah, it is.
Sheep.
Sheep. But, and they were made in Puebla. So there's so many things that were made first in Puebla. Like, you know, you could say the mole. Like there's so many things that were first made.
Yeah.
But it took a while. Like the natives, they weren't used to this. So it took a while for them to develop a tolerance for lactose and a liking for it. So the first cheeses were queso frescos, right? Yeah. So sort of lighter cheeses.
Well, they also said cheese-making skills were not shared with indigenous communities. Like the Spaniards made them in New Spain, in Mexico. And so it really delayed the cheese-eating culture in Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. They sort of kept it, you know, to themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have the manchego cheeses.
And they were lactose intolerant.
And they were lactose. Exactly. They didn't want to. So we have the early cheeses in Puebla, and then we also have early cheeses in the north, in present-day Nuevo León, and they started the manchego-style semi-hard cheeses. But again, growing up in Laredo, my mom used to get groceries in Nuevo Laredo, mostly, both, but But all of the good stuff was in Mexico, like really good, better produce and all of that. But, yeah. And she used to, we always had manchego cheese. So when I first tasted real manchego, like Spanish manchego cheese, I was like, what? This is not manchego cheese. So I was used to the Mexican manchego cheese that tastes completely different.
Wow.
Yeah, completely
different. Well, cheese plays a part in almost all Mexican regional cuisines, like not just Tex-Mex, but chiles rellenos, enchiladas, quesadillas, sopes, gorditas, tacos, queso fundido.
Oh, I love queso fundido.
To create sauces like nogada, which is queso fresco and walnuts. So once this cheese culture took off in Mexico, it was kind of reflected the rest of the world because it was fresh and soft and firm and hard and aged and not. And oh, look, blue cheese is the only category not produced in Mexico. This is why I don't like it. Yeah. I didn't grow up with it. I wasn't exposed to it.
Maybe that's why you don't like it. But yeah, it's the only cheese. There's about 60 traditional cheeses produced in Mexico, but there's so many of them that are sort of getting lost. It's an art form that's really getting lost. I was just in Michoacán a few months ago, and I went to a market, and they had all of these cheeses on the floor. I mean, not on the floor, but like on a tarp on the floor, and some of them were just so just salty, and they were unbelievable. Different colors. Here's a picture.
Oh, yeah. Now, was that at a mercado?
This was at a mercado. This was on the floor of a mercado.
But that's how usually you should, in Mexico, most produce and people get their groceries from the mercado. Mm-hmm. You don't really go to a supermarket. You go to a mercado. And if you go to the mercado, there's lots of cheeses.
Tons of cheeses. I mean, this is just from one really small mercado, and I'm just counting real quick one that's a little bit orange, some different shapes, white round ones, some wrapped ones, or some in a little cup that are more like, look more like crema. And then I see some that have a leaf.
That's the hierba santa.
Oh, hierba santa.
And it, you know what it tastes like? It tastes like eucalypt, mint, and sage combined.
Oh.
It's not my favorite.
Not your thing?
It's not my thing, but it's used a lot in Oaxacan cooking.
And this is like super artisanal cheeses. Yeah. This is not something that we would ever find in the U.S. Like Mexican cheeses, other than, you know, Oaxaca, L.A., we have a huge Oaxacan community, so we can get those cheeses.
Yeah, but even then, I don't know if those are...
It's probably not what you made.
It's the industrial quesillo. Because to import it and it to be on a shelf, it would need all the bad shit in it.
Exactly.
This one you have to sell within the week.
I mean,
when I was in Oaxaca doing my Rey Etla is where quesillo.
Etla and quesillo in Oaxaca. Uh-huh. Yes. How was that?
Amazing. I made cheese.
Amazing.
So quesillo, which anywhere else outside of Oaxaca, it's called queso Oaxaca or Oaxacan cheese.
It's like a string cheese.
Yeah, it's like a string cheese. But in Oaxaca, you call it cheese. You call it quesillo. I mean, you don't call it, it's like French fries. Do you call French fries French in France?
Just fries.
It's just fries. But no, we went to one of the last producers that are making it by hand, artisanally, because it's now been mechanized so much. Mm. Just there's such a demand for it worldwide. But the traditional traditional cheesemakers still use this beautiful cow's milk from a farm of the cows next door, you know, like that. You can see. So he showed me a mechanized factory-made cheese compared to what they make, and it is night and day, because there's so much other stuff they put in the mass produced one. It's even a different color. If it's white, that's mass produced.
Really?
It's made from a factory. If it has a little yellow to it, it's usually homemade.
Made.
And so quesillo, the history of quesillo was it was a mistake. It was a different cheese. It might have been a manchego that they were making. And there's a teenage girl who left it unattended. And as she came back, she was like, oh my God, I forgot about the cheese. And so she poured boiling hot water into it to try to save it. And it started to curdle even faster. So she tried to knead it back into what it was. And that's what made it stringy.
No way.
Yes.
And that's
it was
so
stringy
cool.
And stringy. And she was trying to save her family's income for the month and ended up making a happy mistake.
Oh and my gosh, like the best cheese.
Best mistake ever is quesillo.
Quesillo is one of the most delicious Mexican cheeses, I think.
Oh my God, it's so salty. Do they salt it at the end? That's the preserve they put.
Okay.
They just salt it by hand as they're stretching it.
So is it, they just put it in like salted water?
No,
is
no,
that
no.
what they do?
No, it's water right. and then they do. And then as it starts coming out, they start making it into a rope. And in that part, right when they start wrapping it into that beautiful form that it comes in, they just get salt and they go ksh, ksh, and they roll it. Salt, ksh, ksh, just
oh, like literally with their hands?
With their hands and massage it in.
Wow.
It's massaged into.
So is it, that's so fascinating.
It's
so is it the quality of the milk, right? That's what makes the cheese so good. Is it the quality
quality
of the milk?
It's the quality of the milk.
Really good milk depends on what the cows eat, right? If they produce really good, and
like if they eat grass or grain, or
if they exercise, like if they have good exercise, if they're being happy animals, produces really like a lot more protein. So, just healthy cows produce healthy milk, produce healthy, delicious cheeses.
Mexico has four cheeses that have been granted the DO trademark, and that was queso cotija, which is...
it's kind of salty.
Is it the queso fresco?
It's harder. It's a little bit more like Parmesan-ish. It's a hard, very salty, you know, cheese. It's salty and nutty, and it's more of a firmer cheese.
Wow. And then queso de bola, which is, it sounds like that Dutch cheese. Oh, that it's inspired
It's inspired by it, yes. But it's different than the
red outer casing.
Because that one is a Dutch cheese. The one that they use in Yucatan is a Dutch cheese. The queso de bola from Chiapas is a ball. It's actually two different cheeses. It's one type of cheese for the outside that's a little bit hard, and then a creamy from the inside. And it's made from cow's milk, and this dates to Porfirio Diaz dictatorship, which was 1876 to 1911, inspired by the Dutch cheese.
Interesting.
So yeah, it's interesting.
And then, well, I love queso crema. Oh,
me too.
Because that's our sour cream.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is more of a creme fraiche.
It's more of a creme fraiche.
Oh, I love queso crema.
Yeah.
I put it on everything.
It's delicious. Delicious.
And then what's queso de porro? It's from Tabasco.
It's from Tabasco.
I've never heard that.
It's a crumbly, porous cheese. Yeah. I don't think I've ever had these cheeses.
I've had queso cotija for sure.
I've had queso cotija, but I haven't had... I don't think I've had the queso cotija.
You're right. Maybe not the.
I think I've had just queso cotija that, you know. At the store. Like that you could find at Ralph's or, you know.
Yeah.
I've had those queso cotijas. I don't think I've had the Michoacan queso cotija, like the real stuff that was originally made from cow's milk in the mountain range during the rainy season and brought down to be aged.
It must be salted by the cotija salt.
Exactly.
And all that. Yeah, no, I probably haven't had that.
I don't think I've had that.
I think it's fascinating that these four have an origination, like that they've granted them that this you invented.
Yeah.
Because cheese is so old. How could we have any denomination, new origin of cheese? It all came from somewhere else, but that's so cool that this one is like, nope, this is Mexican.
I think that is so cool. Like, it makes me want to go to Mexico. When we come back,
the cheesy talk continues.
More after the break.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Welcome back to Hungry for History. I'm a big fan of Otoño Restaurant in Highland Park, California. Owner Teresa Montaño is a Los Angeles-based chef known for her unique takes on classic Spanish dishes. Here she is sharing a childhood memory about cheese and telling us what makes a great cheese board.
Hi there. My name is Teresa Montaño. I'm the chef owner of Otoño in Highland Park, Los Angeles. We're a Catalan tapas and paella restaurant. I have a funny story from my childhood, and I hope my sister doesn't kill me for this, but I grew up in a large Hispanic family, and sometimes it was like the Hunger Games, fighting for the best snacks. And one day my sister bought herself a nice cheese. Pretty sure she labeled it and said, don't touch. But somebody got into the fridge and took a big bite out of her cheese. And when my sister discovered this, she freaked out and accused everyone and went on this big, long investigation. This was known as the cheese incident in my family. And we went years not knowing who bit the cheese until one night, I think we were having some drinks, probably 5 or 10 years down the road. And my little brother, Joe, blurts out, I bit the cheese. And it was hilarious because it was just a running joke for at least a decade of who bit the cheese. Two simple things to think about when you're putting together a cheese board, texture and milk or style of cheese. I like to have a creamy cheese, a semi-soft cheese, and then a hard cheese, and sometimes a wild card cheese. Maybe you can include a blue cheese or a crumbly cheese, perhaps a cheese sauce that you can put together. There's so many different ideas, but I'd like to keep it very simple and just focus on the cheese itself, highlighting the quality and, like I said, the textures and the styles of the cheese.
It's Sunday in Barcelona.
We are in Barcelona. Now in the big city.
Now in the big city. And you said everything's closed on Sundays.
Everything's closed.
I didn't know that it applied to food as well. So
cheese,
I was hoping
cheese shops.
To cheese shops and even grocery stores. I was hoping to find a nice cheese shop and get a bunch of really interesting cheeses. But I did find one just grocery store, and I got a selection of cheeses. I don't know what exactly. I got two queso frescos, which are very, very soft. And then this one that we think is manchego is hard cheese, yellow. The queso fresco is very white.
The reason we don't know what this hard cheese is because it's not labeled. It just says oveja viejo, which means an old sheep.
It's so really
we're
good.
Very confused about what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, my God.
With
cheese.
I love cheese.
Don't threaten me with a good charcuterie board.
I could live off of charcuterie. Like cheese, bread, olives. Like I love. So wait, this is the cow? Cow queso fresco is very white.
I don't know.
Can you taste the difference? Yeah, this is white.
No, because usually a goat cheese, it has a stronger taste, and that doesn't have a strong taste.
Very mild.
Very mild goat cheese or cow cheese. What's that one? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does it matter? Oh, cheese.
This is cow. This one with the blue, with the blue package, and this orange package is a goat.
It doesn't taste like cabra.
Doesn't? Mm-mm. So these, we have two. The queso frescos are very soft, and there's ones that sort of kind of brie-ish. And then I want to taste this without the bread, because all I can taste is the bread.
Yeah, taste it without the bread, because that one has no taste.
This one, the queso fresco?
Yeah.
It's so mild.
Is it, are you supposed to like just crumble that on thing? It feels like a crumble.
It's like milk. Oh.
I'm still eating it.
Yeah.
I dropped my cheese bread.
10-second rule? 3-second rule? Yeah.
That one's lovely.
I like the goat cheese. Without the bread, I like it better. They're very, very mild. Like this is like almost... Like I would almost have this with fruit and honey for breakfast.
You need a...
It needs something.
A jam of some sort.
It's more like a ricotta, but a little firmer. How's this one?
That's manchego. Manchego to me is very boring.
Really?
I'm not a manchego aficionado.
Really? Yeah. I like it.
I love Parmesan.
Mm-hmm. I love Parmesan too.
Tell me what this tastes like. I don't know what it is. It tastes like it reminds me of something.
Oh, I don't know if I like this.
Yeah, it reminds me of a Lunchable. You know, like a Lunchable. Like, I don't even know if that's cheese in those.
I don't know if I like this. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I got the finest selection of cheeses. It's a cow cheese. It's a round cheese with a hard sort of rind.
It almost looks like the Dutch cheese that Reno is made out of in Oaxaca.
Oh, in Yucatan?
Oh, my God. But this is a meal for me. Right now, in front of us, we have some French bread, a bunch of different cheeses, some olives and nuts. Like,
what else?
I can die and go to heaven.
Yeah.
This could be my last meal.
Yeah.
I was at this restaurant, which I wanted to take you to in Peralada, the castle.
Oh, yeah.
The medieval castle has a dinner, but it's like 5 hours. So every night I'm like just too tired because it's one of those long dinners.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But at the end of the meal, they roll up a table. And when I say it's like a 6-foot table, and it's all cheeses.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I think I took a pic. Didn't I send a picture to you?
No.
Oh, my God. And I was like, why did this come at the end of the meal?
That could have been the whole meal.
Yes. Well, probably because I would have filled up on it. But— What is that? What is that? Why do some people put it at the beginning and some people put it at the end of a meal? When do you think you should have cheese?
All day.
What's the appropriate time to
have? To have cheese? I'm not really sure how that.
Before or after?
The cheese. Well, I just feel like I see it more at the beginnings of the meal, right? Like to open up the appetite. Like especially when you go to Italy, like the aperitivo hour, you know, it's like a little spritz or a little bitter drink.
Oh,
and
here it is.
Cheese just to open up the appetite. Look at this. Oh my God. That is unbelievable. This is literally a 6-foot table with every single
cheese
shape,
you can
size,
think of.
Color. Oh my gosh. So did you taste a bunch of them? Or was it
No, I picked like that's my kind of cheese, that brie.
You like the creamy?
The creamy. I like a sheep brie. I like a sheep.
Super creamy.
Super creamy.
Like do you love like the triple cream, like the French brie, like the super creamy?
Yeah. French brie's I love.
French brie's are
oh,
yeah,
I
me
love
too.
French brie's. Okay. Well, I've loved traveling the world of cheese with you. This was
likewise,
very enlightening.
Yes.
From the Greeks and the Romans and the Egyptians all the way to Chiapas.
And to
and
Etla.
Oaxaca.
To Etla.
Etla. This has been an amazing
so
cheese journey.
Good.
Thank you guys for listening and spending your time with us.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Hungry for History is an Unbelievable Entertainment production in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura podcast network.
For more of your favorite shows, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way.
It's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.